Good day and welcome into the front page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Dan Conte, sitting in for News Director Chuck Maraz, and our guest today on the front page is Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. Doc, it's good to have you with us again today.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Dr. Blevins, one of the things that was discussed at the groundbreaking that was held for Rowan County's new detention center recently was concerns about the safety of police officers, sheriff's deputies in the field following the...
That's an issue affecting the whole United States. I mean, when you attack one officer, you're attacking the whole system of officers, and it's really an attack on America. And there's comments were made, and I think all of us were concerned about that. Luckily, we live in a not as crime-ridden area as some of the other those large communities are, and I feel we're a little safer. But I mean, anything can happen. It just takes one crazy person to go out here and create havoc.
Obviously, it is up to the sheriff how Rowan County deputies patrol, but of course, the fiscal court approves the budget
for their budget, the
sheriff.
We're working very well with the. Actually, the sheriff was in our meeting yesterday, and we were asking him to try to help us with the horse issue. If we have a horse out on the highway or a horse is not being properly cared for, if he can help us in rendering assistance and bringing those horses off the road or get them to where they're not creating a havoc or a tragedy for people and a car wreck or a trampling of a child those are the things we have to be concerned about. And the sheriff was there, and he's agreed to try to help us on that. We'll work together. And he thanked the court for continuing to fund. We fund a special deputy that helps on drug control, and we've got an excellent record on trying to stop the drugs in this community. We don't see as much heroin and those kinds of things as some communities, and I think we've put the message out that those people need to hopefully stay away, and if they don't, they're going to get caught.
As far as the law enforcement budget in Rowan County is concerned, Dr. Blevins, are you confident, based on your discussions with the sheriff and other information you've been able to glean, that our sheriff's deputies have the equipment and the personnel to
be safe
in the field?
I believe they do. They've not asked us for any additional equipment. We've been able to get some from government surplus, and they've helped us as well in getting some equipment for the community. We picked up a couple of portable generators that we've actually going to put at one of the fire departments, and we're looking maybe put it up at the Carl D. Perkins Center. It costs money to put those in, but we got them for nothing, and actually the sheriff was able to find those bargains for us. It didn't cost anything other than just going and picking them up. Now we've got to have them installed. We're going to try to get that hopefully installed, and at least up at the fire department, the one up by the MMRC, get that installed so it'll be ready. If it's ever needed, we'll have an emergency backup. As far as the equipment, I think they've got pretty much what they need. They've not come to us ask for an additional any kind of additional monies for that. I think the federal government's been able to give us some of those things. I know we've got a Humvee there that we can use in certain instances. I believe they've got a drone now that the county and the emergency services are using to try to use that to track people in case there's an emergency. You could use that to try to find somebody lost in the forest, or if you're trying to track somebody that's escaped, you could use that. And as far as I know, I think we're pretty much up to par. We've got an excellent sheriff, well-trained, and he says deputies are all well-trained. They're very dedicated citizens and dedicated officers to making sure that Rowan County is as safe as it can be.
We mentioned the new detention center, and construction work is underway.
Underway, not as fast as we'd like. We missed didn't get the proper paperwork from the state on. You have to get approval from the state on all these things, and we're trying to get all those things taken care of. But we missed a date for the, I think they're called forced aggregate piers. that will be like a foundation. It's going to be a fairly large building, and it's got to have good foundation. And this company pretty much goes around the whole United States and does this, and you have to schedule them. We had them scheduled, and because we couldn't get a permit from the state, it's slowing us down a couple of weeks. But hopefully they're going to be there this week and start on those Ram aggregate piers, they call them.
Best case scenario, do you think that jail will be finished late next year?
I'm hoping, but you just never know. That's a big project. You got a lot of different groups that have got to step up and make sure they do the right thing. But we're going to be after them to make sure that we get it as soon as we can, because it costs us money every month that we're not in there. And I know the university would like to have that money too, but we'd like to save as much as we can for the county and the taxpayers of the county. So we're going to continue. Our construction manager is doing a good job, as far as I can tell, and trying to keep these people on track. And of course, we're going to continue. My deputy, Lincoln Cottle, is pretty knowledgeable of this stuff, and he's going to try to spend some time down there to make sure he can be of help. We've got the information that comes to us on computer to kind of let us know where we're standing with each one of those contractors, if they're ahead or below or behind. So I think we're going to try to do the best we can to get in there as soon as possible.
One of the reasons that the decision was made to go ahead and build a 300-bed jail in Rowan County is that the prison population was increasing.
It is increasing. Actually, the state's population just keeps going up, even though we passed House Bill 364, I think it is, 363, I can't remember the exact number, but it was supposed to save money because you want to let first-time offenders basically let them walk out of jail without spending much time in jail, basically be arrested and you'd be turned out, and try to get them into treatment programs with the idea that, you know, we can actually save money by not putting people in jail. But that has not worked out because of the drug problem. People are just... When they can't get their prescriptions filled at the doctor, and they can't go to Florida and fly in and get them, then they've turned to heroin and other drugs. So it's created a problem with housing some of these people. I wish we had more treatment. Again, that takes money to treat them as well. It's tough to find those dollars when you don't have dollars to build a prison cells, and you don't have dollars to do either one. So we're in a tough time. I mean, you're seeing university with cuts, and we're seeing cuts in our budgets as well. And the people have got to do the best they can and try to find the best ways you can to manage. But we think that I think we will fill up this jail pretty rapidly, and with the number of counties that do not have jails around them or even in their communities, plus the state will still need to put people in Class D felons, and those are the best kind because they're the low-level crimes, and those are the people that we can actually get some work out of as well. We're using some of those prisoners right now to do some mowing. We've got a couple of them working out at our road department with mowing and chipping and doing some of those things. So, they can't do everything, but they're still beneficial and saves the taxpayers' dollars.
Because of the rising prison population, I know the Secretary of the Public Protection and Justice Cabinet, John Tilley, would like the state legislature to look at some alternative sentencing, more diversion programs, more drug courts, as you mentioned, some guidelines that might give judges more opportunities for home incarceration.
Correct.
Sentences that wouldn't necessarily put people behind bars. I take it from the comments that you just made, Dr. Blevins, that you don't think that anything that the state legislature would do right now would make it difficult to fill up that jail.
I really don't, and we're not hearing that from the state officials as well. I mean, they're actually going to try to. We've got two private prisons here in Kentucky, and I think they'll hold about 2,000 prisoners. And even with those 2,000 prisoners, we're still going to need jail space. It's crime is a growing thing. It just seems like I wish it wasn't. Maybe we're doing too good on the our sheriffs, and we got too many deputies, perhaps because we're arresting too many people. But I don't think that's the case either. I think it's just we've got a real problem in our society. When you don't have jobs, people tend to get in trouble, And if you got a drug problem and you can't pay for it, you start robbing, you start breaking into people's homes, you go steal from, you know, shoplift and all these different things. And I mean, I wish, and I think I even said that up at the meeting, I wish someday we wouldn't need a jail for people. You know, hopefully we can do away with crime. But the only way you can do that, I think, is to create a good economy where people can have good jobs and have some pride in themselves and have some confidence in themselves and not have to turn to drugs. So I don't know if that's ever going to happen. It hasn't happened as of yet. And if you look at the future, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen either. I mean, there's always a way, maybe to cut it to some extent, but I don't think you're ever going to do away with the need for jails.
On the positive side, when we talk about that construction project, and you couple it with the work that's going on, the addition at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center, the addition that Morehead State University is making to the student center, construction of the vocational school out along I-64 and 801. I can't think of a time since I've been in Rowan County that there have been so many major construction projects.
I'm a lucky man. I fell in the right place because I'm very excited. We're going to see a lot of good-paying jobs here in this next 2 years, two years. And that's going to help our tax base. It's going to help us pay for the jail. It's going to help us pay for hopefully more money for the county roads that we need to service, but to make sure that our police department and our ambulance services and all those things, they have the proper equipment, and we can hopefully see some good things happen in this community. Each one of those things hopefully is going to bring something bigger and better to this community. And the other thing that I'm hoping with broadband, it's going to open up the doors that we're going to bring more jobs and hopefully some industry to our region. I met with some people yesterday about trying to help with broadband. This company that Local Link Solution, a good friend of mine, Tony Wilder, who used to be with the Department of Local Government, and Russ Salzman, who was a deputy there and also worked as deputy, I think, to Governor Jones. Good friends of mine, they're trying to bring some broadband to the company they're working for, wants to bring broadband to some communities here in Kentucky to show that the money that we're spending on the middle mile, that if we don't, if you don't get that last mile for people, it's not going to pay off. And they're willing to put up some money up, their upfront money. We're not going to have to put any money up, and they're going to basically wire this community for us, and what, not just the city of Morehead, but the whole community, pretty much all of Round County. So we can have the broadband that we can attract people. A lot of people wouldn't move to this community unless they've got good broadband, because a lot of people now are working from home. You can do just as much from your home with a computer as you can going to a factory job, make more money, and plus stay at home and be in your humble abode. We're excited about that. The mayor and I have both worked on trying to bring broadband to this community, and the sooner we have it, I think the more opportunities will open up for bringing industry to our community. I met with some people after work yesterday. I met with some people, friends of mine, and they're talking maybe some possible earth-shattering industry that could create quite a few jobs and really solve some of our environmental problems. So I'm excited about that. I can't give all the details on it, but I'm excited, and we're going to try to pursue that as well. There's money. We wouldn't have to put up any of our own capital, but they need a place where they can find the resources they need, and Round County fits that mold. And I'm hoping that in the near future we can announce something good. It'll take maybe a year to get all the details, and it'll take maybe a year and a half or 2 years to build it, but it's at least we're looking to the future that we can bring some good jobs here to the community and hopefully solve some of our environmental problems as well.
Are we talking hundreds of jobs, perhaps?
I don't know if it's hundreds, but yeah, I think you're talking 50 to 100 jobs, perhaps. I don't think it's and you could ramp it up and get more, but this company seems to be, they've got some innovative technologies, and it sounds exciting. And, of course, I've got to do a little more research on it myself, and I've got to make sure that the kind of resources they need as far as the I guess the use of the trees and garbage and stuff. That basically, it's they're going to be able to take garbage and biomass and create energy.
What sort of impact do you think the four major construction projects that I mentioned are going to have on payroll tax revenues?
Oh, I think that's it's definitely going to. We project about $1.7 million from the increase on our payroll tax. That's from 1% to 1.5%. But with all these construction jobs, I mean, these people, they make $40-$50 an hour. Even the lowly workers make $20-some an hour. So, and plus their benefits, I think it has to help our community. It has to help our payroll tax. You know, it's hard to project that exactly, but I'm thinking instead of that $1.7 million that we projected to bring in, because we just basically took half of what we bring in, we figure it's going to continue unless the economy went tanked or something. But I don't see that for this community right now. I think we're seeing, you know, the low interest rates. We're seeing a lot of communities are starting to see some industry come into them, So I think it's going to be more than $1.7 million. I think it could be $2 to $3 million, somewhere in that range. I'm hoping that it'll bring payroll tax in. And, again, we're hoping we're going to bring some long-lasting jobs, not just these construction jobs, but with these two, with all these things that are occurring, that we're going to see more people look at this community and bring their good jobs here.
A few people have mentioned to me, because of all the construction activity and the increase in payroll tax revenues, that is likely because of that we didn't need to raise the payroll tax. What would you say to...
Well, I mean, maybe you wouldn't need to raise it right now, perhaps, but to build a jail, you've got to have a steady income to pay for that jail, and that's going to take about $1 million, a little over a million. I think it's $1,045,000. Plus, it's probably going to have a little bigger operating budget than what the current jail is, because it's about three times as big. We don't think we're going to be tripling the manpower because of the technology you can use with cameras and those kinds of things. But there will be a small increase, I think, in the number of employees. But you have to have money to get the bonding for those things. You've got to prove that you're going to have the money. You just can't hope it's going to be there. It's going to be here for 2 years. It has to be a steady flow of income for at least 20 years. And this should take care of that problem. It also gives us, with what's occurring, we'll hopefully have around $600 and maybe even $1 million more, or maybe even more than that. Who knows how much it's actually going to bring in. But it'll bring in a lot of additional revenue with these good-paying jobs. And, you know, we'll have more money to spend on our roads. We may be able to blacktop more of them, so you don't have to go back and blacktop them every year. We're going to do a certain amount of them each year, so you might be able to do a larger blacktopping and maintain our roads and hopefully have maybe even some better equipment to do even a better job and hopefully more economic job of taking care of our roads.
You are listening to The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. We're talking with Rowland County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins, and we'll be back to talk more with Dr. Blevins right after this.
Morehead State's Department of Engineering and Technology Management offers associate, baccalaureate, and master degrees in engineering and technology management. Programs include engineering and construction management, civil engineering, electronics and computer design, and manufacturing engineering technology. The online technology management program can assist community college graduates earn their BS degree. More information online at moreheadstate.edu/ETM.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling will host a concert of spoken word with music by C.D. Collins and Santon at 7 p.m. on Saturday, August 6th. A reception follows the performance featuring Argentine tango dancing. Free and open to the public, enjoy an evening of dance, spoken word, and music at the Gateway Regional Arts Center at 7 p.m. on Saturday, August 6th.
Back on the front page, I am Dan Conte, sitting in for News Director Chuck Meraz, and our guest is Rowland County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. Dr. Blevins, I know that there is a recreation survey being taken by the city of Moorhead, and some other groups are partnering on that, and I know it's going to about 13,000 residents of Rowan County. What do you hope to learn from the results of that survey?
Well, I think all of us would like to learn as much as we can what our people want. I mean, that's, if you're a leader, you want to know how the people feel about an issue before you actually do anything. And I think that's what we're trying to do, is kind of get a census of what people want. Do they want a dog park? Do they want a rifle range? Do they want a more basketball goals, more more soccer, more? You need to kind of get a feel of what you want, what people want, so when you do find the dollars to go out here and do it, you're ready to move forward. I'm pleased that the mayor and I have worked together, and the city council and the court of trying to work together on this issue. We've not been a big player. The county has not been a big player as far as athletics and parks in the community. We don't put a lot of money into it. I'm trying to get my court to buy into this, because I think all of us benefit. And from what I understand, most of the people, or at least a large percentage of the people that use the parks, are from out in the county. And I think we should be willing to step up to the plate. And hopefully with the new revenues we're going to have, we'll be able to do a little more of that. We hope that the jail will actually maybe create some extra dollars for us that we can put into recreation. I think that's another thing. Anytime you have good recreation, I think you're going to see less delinquency among your minors, because they keep them busy. You let them burn all that energy off, and they don't want to get out here and get in trouble. And I think that's money well spent, and I've pushed for that ever since I started running for the judgeship, and actually pushed for it when I was in the House and Senate too. I think recreation is an important thing, something that government needs to be involved in, and I'm hoping that my county government will, as we find ways of money, monetary ways, that we can be of a bigger help.
Dr. Blevins, we have just a couple minutes left on the show. I wanted to ask you, the county Judges Association of Kentucky is having a summer meeting at the end of August in Louisville, and the purpose of the meeting, I guess, is to discuss local issues.
Well, this one will be in the actually the judges conference is going to be up in Northern Kentucky this time.
Oh, okay. And as far as some of the burning local issues that you would like to see that group address, what's on your mind?
Well, I guess having the revenue to run government. Of course, we my court and myself, we found some dollars to take care of the citizens in this community. And again, I know nobody's ever going to be happy when you raise the taxes. But again, about 50% of those people probably are out of the county. I mean, they're going to come in here, they're going to work, but they don't live here. So they're being taxed because they work here. And so it's not as big a burden as if I went ahead and put a tax on insurance, just on the insurance people here in the community. If I put a tax on their property, then that's only going to affect those people that live in the community. And to me, that's why I like the payroll tax. I think that's why I was able to sell it to my court, because it's you're putting a tax on many of those people. They don't even live in the community. They come here and work, and they've got a job here because of this good community. But to me, that's a good way to raise those dollars and without putting a bigger burden on your local constituency. I guess the biggest problem all of us face is the drug problem. What can we do on drugs? It's a growing issue, and it's an issue that communities are going to have to get a handle on, or we're going to see more and more crime. We're going to see more and more violence, because these people have to have it. They're hooked on it, and until we can find more dollars for treatment, or find a cure for it, or for something, maybe a magic bullet someday, then we've got to work on that issue. And that's probably the biggest issue that faces our whole society is the drug problem, which in turn creates many of the other problems with crime and neglect of children and abuse of adults. So to me, that's probably the biggest thing that judges need to worry about and that we're concerned about. The other one would be economic development. I think all of us want to see more jobs and better jobs for our community, and that's been my dream for many years. That's why I went out when I was a representative and senator to try to get better roads, better schools, industrial parks. We've got those things now, and hopefully in the next few years we're going to see those things really blossom and bloom that we've worked on for many years.
Doc, it is always good to see you,
Thank you, Dan. My pleasure. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Dr. Walter Blevins, Rallin County Judge Executive, has been our guest on the front page today. I'm Dan Conte from Morehead State Public Radio. We'll see you next time.